The squid reached atmosphere before the three ouster assault boats reached the squid. The boats undoubtedly were armed and well within range, but someone on the command circuit must have been curious. Or furious. Kasad's squid was in no way aerodynamic. As with most ship-to-ship craft, the squid could flirt with planetary atmospheres, but was doomed if it dove too deeply into the gravity well. Kasad saw the telltale red glow of re-entry, heard the ion buildup on the active radio channels, and suddenly wondered if this had been such a good idea. Atmospheric drag stabilized the squid, and Kasad felt the first tentative tug of gravity as he searched the console and the command chair arms for the control circuit he prayed would be there. A static-filled video screen showed one of the dropships growing a blue plasma tail as it decelerated. The illusion created was similar to that encountered when one skydiver watched another open his chute or deactivate his suspension rig. The assault boat seemed to climb suddenly. Kasad had other things to worry about. There seemed to be no obvious bailout control, no ejection apparatus. Every force space shuttle carried some sort of atmospheric egress device. It was a custom dating back almost 8 centuries to when the entire realm of spaceflight consisted only of tentative excursions just above the skin of old Earth's atmosphere. A ship-to-ship shuttle probably would never need a planetary bailout device, but age-old fears written into ancient regulations tended to die hard. Or so the theory went. Kasad could find nothing. The ship was quaking now, spinning, and beginning to heat up in earnest. Kasad slapped open his harness release and pulled himself toward the rear of the squid, not even sure what he was looking for. Suspension packs? Parachutes? A set of wings? There was nothing in the troop carrier section except the corpse of the ouster pilot and a few storage compartments not much larger than lunchboxes. Kasad tore through them, finding nothing bigger than a medkit. No miracle devices. Kasad could hear the squid shaking and beginning to break up as he hung on a pivot ring and all but accepted the fact that the ousters had not wasted money or space on such low-probability rescue devices for their squids. Why should they? Their lifetimes were spent in the darkness between star systems. Their concept of an atmosphere was the 8-click pressurized tube of a can city. The external audio sensors on Kasad's bubble helmet began to pick up the raging hiss of air on the hull and through the broken blister in the aft section. Kasad shrugged. He had gambled too many times and lost. The squid shuddered and bounced. Kasad could hear the manipulator tentacles tearing away from the bow. The ouster's corpse suddenly was sucked up and out of the broken blister like an ant into a vacuum cleaner. Kasad clung to the pivot ring and stared through the open hatch at the control seats in the cockpit. It struck him that they were wonderfully archaic, like something out of a textbook of the earliest spacecraft. Parts of the ship's exterior were burning away now, roaring past the observation blisters like goblets of lava. Kasad closed his eyes and tried to remember lectures from Olympus Command School on the structure and layout of ancient space-going craft. The squid began a terminal tumble. The noise was incredible. "By Allah!" gasped Kasad, a cry he had not uttered since childhood. He began pulling himself forward into the cockpit, bracing himself on the open hatch, finding handholds on the deck as if he were climbing a vertical wall. He was climbing a wall. The squid had spun, stabilized in a stern first death dive. Kasad climbed under a 3G load, knowing that a single slip would break every bone in his body. Behind him, atmospheric hiss turned to a scream and then to a dragon roar. The troop carrier section was burning through in fierce, molten explosions. Climbing into the command seat was like negotiating a rock overhang with the weight of two other climbers swinging from his back. The clumsy gauntlets made his grip on the headrest even less sure as Kasad hung over the vertical drop to the flaming cauldron of the carrier section. The ship lurched, Kassad swung his legs up, and he was in the command seat. The display videos were dead. Flame heated the overhead blister to a sick red. Kassad almost lost consciousness as he bent forward, his fingers feeling in the darkness below the command seat, between his knees. There was nothing. Wait! A hand grip! No. Sweet Christ and Allah! A D-ring! Something out of the history books. The squid began to break up. Overhead, the blister burned through and spattered liquid perspex throughout the interior of the cockpit, splashing Kassad's suit and visor. He smelled plastic melting. The squid was spinning as it broke up. Kassad's sight turned pink, dimmed, was gone. He used numb fingers to tighten the harness. Tighter. Either it was cutting into his chest, or the perspex had burned through. His hand went back to the D-ring, fingers too clumsy to close around it. No. Pull! Too late. The squid flew apart in a final screech and explosion of flame, the control console tearing through the cockpit in 10,000 shrapnel-sized bits. Kassad was slammed into his seat. Up. Out. Into the heart of the flame. Tumbling.